Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Middletown Nazarene Church, for allowing me to be here and being the voice of the voiceless. It's a great honor to be here to share the stories of the girls across the world. So today, you see the square up there. If you're interested, you can take your camera on your phone and focus in on it, and it'll tell you to tap, and you can go in and sign up to get emails and updates and different things that we offer there for Destiny Rescue. And so you can do that, and that'll be at the very end as well. And before we go on to the next one, I just want to say we have human trafficking and sexual exploitation is a $150 billion a year industry. $150 billion. $99 billion of that is commercial sexual exploitation of underage children. $99 billion. That's a lot of money. And it's worldwide. The average age at Destiny Rescue that we rescue is 15 years old. Our mission, our main goals is to, we concentrate on underage girls, and we, but when we rescue, many times there's also young boys, and there's also older ladies all the way up to, I believe the oldest that we've rescued is 35. I may be wrong on that, but I know it's in the 30s. But even though our ministry doesn't focus on them, we partner with other ministries that we will help and take the boys to ministries that's who they concentrate on to get them help. And we take the older ladies and take them to a place where they can get the help that they need while we concentrate on the younger girls. As I said, the average age is 15. The youngest that we've rescued is 18 months that's been abused. That one is the one that's really hard to wrap your mind around. Just this year, we rescued a 14-year-old mother, and she had an 8-week-old baby girl. Fortunately, the 8-week-old hadn't been abused, but it was just a matter of time. But today, the mother and that baby are still together, and they're doing very well. That's a praise report. Because, church, what you have helped to do, I was here last year, or the last time I was here was when Billy Ballinger was here, and I give a 5 or 10 minute presentation. So this year, you have helped to break a generational curse. Because that 8-week-old child will not have to endure what her 14-year-old mother has gone through. That's a praise report to God. Amen. Can you give God a clap offering for that one, please? Amen. God is good. You can go to the next slide. I've kind of covered that one already. Where do we do our work? We do it in Latin America, Africa, and across Asia. 73%, I believe it is, 73% of all human trafficking and sexual exploitation takes place in the Asia and the Pacific area. 73%. So that's why we concentrate on the places that are in higher numbers. And I want to share a statement with you that today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. I'll say that again. Today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. That applies to me as an individual. It applies to husband and wives, as parents, as a church, as a city, as a nation, as a world. When I become complacent, I will fall into captivity of whatever I grew complacent in. Husbands, if you grow complacent with your spouse, You will fall into a place of captivity and vice versa. When you grow complacent with your children, there's captivity that will happen. How do I know that? It's a simple phrase. Today's captivity is today's complacency is tomorrow's captivity. I may have shared with you about George Eastman. George Eastman was head of Kodak. At one point in time, they had like 94-95% of the world market for cameras and for film. So they thought they had it all. One of their employees came to him with an invention that he had created, and he asked them, he said, I think so much of Kodak and in this company, I want to offer you this opportunity of my invention. George Eastman and his board said, turned him down, flat no. Said, you're trying to ruin our company. So the gentleman took his invention, he believed in it and so much, he went to another company and they accepted it. You know what that invention was? The digital camera. It was shortly after the digital camera came out that Kodak went bankrupt. They lost, they were down to like 2 or 3% of the world market instead of 95. But because they became complacent, they thought they had it all. There was no room for growth. There was no room for to learn or to expand. They became complacent. And today, Kodak still has a small percentage. This is kind of taking over the camera world. You can go to the next slide. Types of rescue that we do. Because of your help, what do? These are the three main types. There's more, but we have raids, the covert rescue, and the border rescues. The raids, you'll notice our agents there have Destiny Rescue on the back of their bulletproof vest. Because we go into the darkest of darkest places, we fight against the cartel, we fight against the mafia, we fight against ever who is trying to take our children and hold them hostage and to sell them and take away their self-worth. It's a very dangerous thing. Right now, as I'm speaking, most of the countries that we're in, it's nighttime. And the girls are working and our agents are out rescuing. We're rescuing an average of about 9 a day. That's huge. But the raids, what we do is we actually work with the government and the local police. Here in the United States, it would be similar to the FBI and Homeland Security. In those countries, most of them are called MBIs, but we work with them, as well as the local government and the local police. We go in and we get all of the data that's needed, all of the video, all the audio, all the pictures, everything that we need, and we set up the opportunity to go in and make a bust. We give all that information to the police, and our agents will actually go with them the majority of the time to do the raid and to rescue these kids. The next one that I'll talk about is covert. Covert rescue is where, and I'll tell you a story of a girl here shortly that where we rescued. And this is where how she was rescued was in the covert method. Is we send our agents in 2 by 2. One for safety, the other for accountability. Our agents are all trained. And what to look for. We focus on the underage children. We go into the, like I said, the darkest of darkest places. And we go in and we'll seek out the young teenage children that are being sold. And then we will make a way. This, in the covert rescue, our agents actually do the rescue. They will extract these children. The next one is the border, which is really kind of exciting because it's one of those rescues that It actually prevents, it's a preventive thing that takes place where in one of the countries we have, I believe it's 22 border stations now that across the border, and the country, Nepal, has given us the authority to stop and to question each and every person that we think is necessary to ask them and to find out what the purpose of somebody carrying this young child over into this other country, which I won't mention. In that one, we're actually able to rescue these children the majority of the time before they're ever abused and get them back with their parents. You can go to the next slide, please. So the Freedom Plan. We're in 16 different countries and growing, 13 of which we're doing rescue in as I'm speaking. In each country, we have a different Freedom Plan, and we have teams that will build this Freedom Plan depending upon the country. And each child gets a separate Freedom Plan built to them. Why? Because everyone is different. Every country is different. But each Freedom Plan will meet what you're seeing here on this screen. It gives them a safe bed, urgent health care, economic empowerment, and daily food. Education or business training. The reason why that word or is there is simply because you don't take an 18-month-old and give them business training. So it's all age dependent on where they're at and what type of training. But all of them get education, and all of them eventually will get business training as well. We have the trauma resilience training, and we have spiritual growth. Every country that we have, that we're in, is prepared to share the gospel. And I have great news to share that I've been with Destiny Rescue since 2018. My wife and I pastored for many years, and we were in Missouri, and our son came in 2016 and shared, and in 2017 we stepped down as senior pastors and sold everything, moved to Indiana to become a part of Destiny Rescue. And in that moment, I was able to go to Cambodia and Thailand that same year to help rescue and to see our work there and how it's done. Every country that we're in is prepared to share the gospel with these children. And one of the first things that I ask is, have we tracked how many children that we've rescued that have received Jesus as their Savior and are continuing doing it? Well, it's been 3 weeks ago, a month ago, we finally started tracking that about 3 years ago, and we chose Kenya to start there. And in Kenya, the great news is 80% of the children rescued who received Jesus as their Savior 2 years later are still following Christ. That's huge. Amen? Sometimes that doesn't even get met here in the United States. 2 years later, they're still following Christ. So that's huge. The next slide. Because the church rose up, because you helped, even this year, we had a record year last year. We actually rescued 3,352 in 2023. That's a praise report. Amen. Now that 14,684, that slide I made quite a while ago in the beginning of the 2024, that is over 17,000 now. Instead of 14,000, it's over 17,000 total rescues. God is good. And it's because the church has risen up. Now let me tell you a story. You can go to the next slide. Let me tell you one of the stories Did I share a story the last time I was here? Does anybody remember? No? Well, good. Why do I say good? I have a lot of stories, but I'm going to share this one with you. It's about Zara. Would you say her name with me? Zara. Say it out loud. Zara. Why is that so important? Because if you can remember Zara's name, you won't remember all 17,000. If I brought the whole list in here, you won't remember their names, neither would I. But if I can get you to remember Zara's name, it will attach you to the over 17,000 that's been rescued and those who will be rescued. It'll give you a personal investment because you know whose name? Zara's name. When I come back next year, I'm hoping that somebody here will remember Zara's name. Because I'm going to ask. Because it is so important. It is so important. Let me tell you her story. Zara was 6 years old and she lost both parents. So they elected to give her to her aunt on her mom's side, her mom's sister. We would normally say, yay, she had some relatives that they could send her to. But in Zara's case, it wasn't a good thing. She became like the Cinderella story that I kind of see the similarity in. The aunt used Zara as a personal slave for her family. When Zara turned 12, her aunt found out that she could actually take her to town and sell her to a brothel. So her aunt, when Zara turned 12, took her to a brothel and sold her. The owner and the manager met her and gave her their money, and they took Zara. The owner had already made it up with all the new coming girls coming into her brothel. She always would do the same thing and have her oldest son try to force himself on her. And then the owner would rush in, rescue the child, in this case, who? Zara. And that would build a trust between Zara and the owner. And that's exactly what took place. I get emotional when I tell this story. So, Zara, at that point, began to trust the owner. And the owner, from that day, at 12 years old, till she turned 13, every day, the owner would give her a shot of hormones to make her body develop much faster than what God intended for it to be. When Zara turned 13, the brothel owner sold her for the first time. She was sold to a Westerner. What are we? We're Westerners. She was sold to a Westerner. She fought and she screamed, and the Westerner beat her to almost being unrecognizable. Zara asked the owner and the manager, "Why didn't you come to rescue me?" And they said, "If you only do what they ask you, they won't hurt you." Right. Right. Zara is 13 years old. They sold her 7 more times that night. After a period of time, being sold between 7 and 15 times a night, it wasn't very long and Zara began to give up hope. She felt like there was no point in living. So Zara had become at a very low state of mind and began to plan her suicide. Well, that night, Two of our agents came in. And one of them, the Holy Spirit said, you've got to get her out of here tonight. Remember, Zara's at the lowest point in her life. Feels hopeless. It reminds me of the story in John chapter 5 when Jesus was on his way to a Jewish festival. And he stopped by the pool of Bethesda. Who was at the pool of Bethesda in John chapter 5? The lame, the sick, those who were totally... Well, let's just look at it real quick. John chapter 5. Paralyzed. It says in... I'll start at verse 3. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water, for an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And in verse 6, you got to catch this one. In verse 6, when Jesus saw him lying there, Jesus saw him lying there. And depending upon what translation, it says, and knew, and some translations say, and learned that he had already been in that condition a long time. So Jesus saw, and Jesus knew or learned two things. Jesus saw and Jesus learned. And then Jesus says to him, do you want to be made well? If you had been sick for 38 years and you had been sitting in front of that pool waiting for the water to stir, and some man came up to you and said, do you want to be made well? Duh. Yes, I want to be made well. Why do you think I'm here? But unfortunately, somebody always gets in front of me and keeps me from it. I can imagine that man feeling lost, hopeless, because he says, what does he say? He says, the sick man, verse 7, the sick man answered him, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me. He had to feel hopeless. He had to feel like a place that there was a place where he was just no one there to help him. Now, I don't know, maybe you've been in a place some point in your life where you just felt like, I don't have any help. Maybe you felt hopeless. In my younger years, I felt hopeless. I came to a place where I felt there was no one to help me. And then Jesus comes up and says, do you want to be made well? And I said, yes, Lord. Just as this man said, yes, Lord. What did Jesus tell him? Jesus saw, Jesus learned, and Jesus did something. Jesus said, here in verse 8, he said, Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. So Jesus saw, Jesus learned, and Jesus did something. We are to be like Jesus, are we not? Just as the pastor, just as Jesus gives you every day, every Sunday, the opportunity to come to him, the opportunity for freedom, the opportunity to know who you are in Christ, the opportunity to know that you are no longer under condemnation, to know that you are forgiven, you have mercy. Just as your pastor gives you that same calling, the same opportunity. He says, Jesus is the way. You have a way out. just as Jesus, just as your pastor, just as hopefully your parents are telling the children, there is a way. I want to give you that opportunity today. You've seen, you've learned, and now we have an opportunity to do something. Each one of us, every one of us here today has an opportunity to do something. Coming back to what's her name? Boy, you guys are good. I think you'll remember it next year. Coming back to Zara's story. Our agents told her that night, and that was the first time and the only time this has ever happened in a story. Because it usually takes anywhere between 3 and 6 weeks to convince someone about Destiny Rescue and the opportunity that we offer through our Lord. But that night, the Holy Spirit had told the agent, you've got to get her out. And so he came right up front. He paid for her time. She came to the table and he laid it out to her. And he said, we want to give you the opportunity to leave tonight into a place of safety. And he explained what Destiny Rescue does and that we're a Christian ministry. She accepted. So they paid the bar fine and took her back to one of our safe houses. She slept for 2 days. When she woke up, our social workers went in to talk with her. And they said, tell us your story. So Zara, this is the story that I told is Zara's story that I'm sharing. They put it in writing. Zara told him, if the agents hadn't come in that night, I would have killed myself that night. I already had it planned out. She was going to commit suicide that very night. But praise the Lord. We have agents who hear the voice of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and they follow their discernment and they act upon it. They see, they learn, and they do something. Today, Zara is doing very well, by the way. And that was been, that she was rescued, I believe, in 2017. So, and today she has her own business, and she's doing very well. Zara would say, thank you. Thank you for allowing me to dream and to have hopes, to live into freedom and not fear. Jesus saw, Jesus learned, and Jesus did something. The founder and the CEO of Destiny Rescue, he went on a missions trip in 2001 and he went to Thailand. He went there and he saw the atrocities, what was going on, and he heard the propositions being made. And he went home and he was a business owner. He's from New Zealand originally, but he had moved to Australia and had a business, an electrical business, and he was married and had children. And he went home and he told his wife, he said, listen, we can either do something or nothing, and I've got to do something. I want to sell the business, the home, move you and the family to Thailand. And the wife said, uh-uh. I've got to hear from God first too. So a year went by and he took his wife on the same missions trip and she saw the atrocities that was happening to these children. And she said, you're right. So they sold their business, sold their home, moved the family to Thailand. And today Thailand is the international corporation office and Fort Wayne, Indiana is our USA office. As of this year in April, our oldest son, Jason, has become the CEO for all of USA, Destiny Rescue. And we're very thankful for that. Kirk, the previous CEO, he done a wonderful job. And he's doing a greater job even yet today, because they moved him up to where now he's working with all of the nations. And so that's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity and for Destiny Rescue and these children. You can go to the next slide. Tamara says, I came to know that Jesus is the true God. I have faith in him. The trauma resilience training program really impacted my life. I learned to forgive and let go of my past hurts and abuse. You can go to the next one, please. It takes approximately $1,500 to rescue a child. And that's from beginning to the end of the rescue. And then the one thing that I always try to tell people is we're a unique nonprofit. Because right now, 83 cents out of every dollar actually goes to the girls and the program for their restoration and their future. That's unheard of for nonprofits, by the way. It's usually flip-flop. Usually about 20% or 25% goes to what the actual cause is for, and the other goes to admin and salaries and all the other stuff. But not so, and it never has been with Destiny Rescue. The founder and the CEO says we'll never drop below 80 cents. Never. And in the history of Destiny Rescue, it has never dropped below 80 cents. It usually hangs around between 83 and 85% of every dollar that you give will actually go to these girls and to see them through these programs. So it takes about $1,500. You can rescue a child. If you want to do a $1,500 check, you can, to rescue a child. You can go to the next slide, please. Become a rescue partner. This is probably my favorite, and I'll explain the reasons why. A rescue partner is when you commit to give any monthly amount. Any amount. It can be $3, it can be $100 or $1,000. Whatever the Holy Spirit lays on your heart and you say, yes, Lord, I'm sticking out my neck and I'm going to rescue children. Whatever that amount is, you commit to a monthly giving. And what's the difference between a rescue partner? The reason why I like the rescue partner is every month that you give, you're helping to rescue a new child, a different one. When you rescue a child, you're rescuing one child, which is great. And you can give a one-time gift, or you can rescue a child, or you can become a monthly partner. But I just want to share, when you become a monthly partner, say you're given $30 a month, you're actually helping to rescue a minimum of 12 children a year. Isn't that awesome? You're actually helping to rescue a minimum of 12 children a year. All right, so I did this. I did a little Googling. I don't know if Google is accurate or not. But I'm told here in Middletown, in Shenandoah High School, isn't that the name of the high school? Make sure I got the name right anyway. Shenandoah High School, Google says there's 410 students, high school students. 410. In elementary, sixth grade through the eighth grade, is that what is that called? Huh? Junior high. You have 298 students. It takes 25 rescue partners. If you put it in perspective, 25 rescue partners who say, I'm going to commit to giving a certain amount of money, whatever that is, doesn't matter, a month. It takes 25 rescue partners to rescue the 298 children that are in the 6th through the 8th grade. It would take 35 rescue partners to rescue the 410. It kind of helps us put things in perspective, doesn't it? When you take a number. Because some of you, I know, have children in the elementary. You have children in the high school. And you say, if 35 of us gave monthly, in essence, we're rescuing 410 children a year. That's phenomenal. What power you and I have in a monthly giving. You can go to the next slide. This is a video, a short video. That's when the church rises up, that's what we get. That's what we get. I had the privilege of seeing three graduations while I was there of children who have hope and freedom in Cambodia and in Thailand. It's an experience that I'll never forget. Today I have good news. I'm about ready to close. But today I have good news. We have some wonderful people who have contacted Destiny Rescue and said, collectively, they will match up to $310,000 in November to anyone who gives to rescue. So whatever you give today, even as a rescue partner, even as a one-time gift, it will be matched. So if today if we collect $1,000, it becomes two. If it's $5,000, it becomes ten. So we've seen, we've learned, and we get a opportunity to do something. In the back, you can come and see me. I still have the hard form as well back there that where you can sign up to get monthly emails from us or regular emails from us, not necessarily monthly. But you can sign up it as well as to fundraise or there's some other areas there, but you can definitely get opportunity to sign up. I want to share this with you before I go. I did this back, I think, in January when Billy was here, and we had some that took some of these. They are a rescue partner, and you can keep this part of it, but there's an envelope inside. And you can fill it out with credit card, debit card, cash, check, whatever you have, and whatever you want. And if you want to become a regular monthly rescue partner, you can fill this out, turn it in to us today. And we have some bracelets back there. I want to make sure that those of you who sign up as a rescue partner get one of these. The girls in Thailand that we've rescued actually made these bracelets. And so it's a great prayer reminder to pray for these kids. And just to give you an update, I don't know what the total number is, but we've had a lot of our rescues that we have helped to go through and have become nurses, have become computer designers, and engineers as well. So they just don't do the bracelets. They are cosmetologists. They start their own cafes. They start their own businesses. So, but we also, these that are back there, even if you don't become a rescue partner, we like to get a donation for these. If you can afford $5 or whatever you want to give, we have some of these back there. They work really well for the bracelets to as a daily reminder to pray for these children across the United States and across the world. We also have some forms that you can, or things that you can take home with you. They're free as well. But those of you that, if there's anybody here who says, yes, I want to become a rescue partner today, and you'd like one of these forms to fill out and to turn it in before you leave, would you raise your hand? My wife will be sure and get it to you. Raise your hand and leave it up real quick. I'm not going to, there's one over here, Belinda. Anyone else? Okay. If you want to take these home and think about it, pray about it. We have some other forms back there that you can take with you as well. And I want to thank you for your time and all that you've done. Real quickly, let me tell you, there's a 800 number. Stop by the desk back there. I'll be happy to give it to you. And actually, I'll share it with you right now. It's 888-373-7888. I'll tell it to you again, but what is that? That's the national hotline number for here in the United States. I have personally been able to help talk through some folks who have actually rescued a child. That hotline number is the FBI and Homeland Security. A lady in who was over the school district, and if anybody here has influence in a school, please contact me. I'd love to come and share with your students and give them an awareness of what is going on. But a lady in Michigan who is over the western half called me at 8 o'clock in the morning, and I'll make this story really short. She got my card from our daughter, which is also in Michigan, and she suspected that one of their students was being trafficked. She called me at 8 o'clock in the morning, told me everything that was going on. At 8:30, I told her, I said, call this 800 number. Tell him exactly what you told me. She did. She called me back at 9 o'clock. She said, here's the case number. And they said it's okay to give it to you. And she said, now what do I do? And I said, do you know anybody else in the parent's family? Because this boy had been missing for 2 weeks and it wasn't the first time. So she knew the dad's brother had his contact. I said, contact him, but don't tell him what you suspect, just that you're concerned because he's been missing for 2 weeks. So she did, and the uncle said, yeah, we're a little concerned too. Here's where they are. They're in Colorado, and he gave her the name of the bed and breakfast, and the phone number. So she called me back and gave me that. She said, now what do I do? I said, call the local police. Ask for a wellness check. Tell them what you suspect, but not to let on. They called her back and said, yes, the husband and wife are there. Said, the husband looks great. The wife and the boy look pretty bad. So she called me back and told me that. Said, what do I do? And I said, call the 800 number back that I just gave you. She did. The FBI and Homeland Security already had that bed and breakfast on their watch list. They just didn't have enough to go in and do it. So this lady, with her love for children, they went in, they arrested the owners of the bed and breakfast. The dad and the mom took them to police. They found out that the dad was actually selling the mom and the boy. And the owners of the bed and breakfast were in on it. So they closed the bed and breakfast down. This was at the fall, October of 2022. They closed the bed and breakfast down. And as far as I know, the dad and the owners are still in jail today. And the mom and the boy are back. The boy is back in school, back in Michigan, and have gone through counseling, and they're doing really well. So it does work. We can do things here in America as well. Amen? And it happens right here in your locale. So, I want to thank you again. And please remember whose name? Zara's name. I have stickers back there. They're free. All the information back there is free. If you don't have the money for one of those bracelets, I'd be glad to give you one. Because it's a opportunity to remember and to pray for those children. Just so that you know as well, on Zara, after she told us the story, we were able to take the authorities, and the owner and the manager was arrested. The business was closed down, and they were able to go back and arrest the aunt for selling the daughter or her niece. So there's a justice in the end. And the other thing that I've always said that I love about Destiny Rescue, not everywhere, but most of the places, we have people who care about Jesus so much and love Him so much, they are willing to go into the jails after they are arrested, and they minister to them to lead them to Christ. Because if we know that if they accept Jesus as their Savior, they're not going to be abusing children anymore. Amen? So it's a wonderful thing. So I believe you have a song, or the worship team, or you're going to come. And one thing that I know as well, where they're coming to play, most churches that I go to, I find that there's somebody who, just like these children that we rescue, have been abused at an early age or sometime in their life. And more times than not, we want to think that men has never gone through something like that, but men get abused. Boys get abused. And so while they're praying, today is the day of freedom for each and every one of us. I know Christians who've been Christians for 30 or 40 years, but yet they carry that heaviness around of abuse at an early age. Jesus came to set us free. So today is your day. Just say, Lord, I receive it. I receive that freedom. It is mine. And if you want to talk to me or my wife, we'll pray with you in the back as well. Please stop by. But today is your day as well. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, church.